One of the several times where Moshe Rabbeinu comes on behalf of Klal Yisrael, where we were in trouble, and Moshe Rabbeinu, I was our faithful and devoted leader, comes on our behalf to stop a decree to prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from carrying out what he had intended to do, or what he told Moshe Rabbeinu he intended to do, is right after the Chet of the Meraglim, right after the sin of the spies. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Vayemer Hashem Moshe." This is in Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph. "Vayemer Hashem Moshe Adoni Yenatsuni Ha'omaze." How much longer will this nation anger me? "Adonai La'yaminu bi." And how much longer will they not believe in me? "B'chol Ois Asher Asisi Bikirbei." I've displayed my powers, I've showed them all of my miracles, and yet they continue not to believe in me. They question me. I told them that I'm going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, and this will be the promised land, Teva Haaretz Meid Meid, and yet they question me further, and they complained about it. So Hashem says, I'm through with them. Akenu v'adeva v'irishenu. I will hit them, and I will wipe them out. V'esayishchel l'goygol. He says, Moshe, don't worry, I'll make you into a great nation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'yemem Moshe Hashem. But you know what's going to happen? Vishamu Mitzrayim, people back in Egypt. There were still Egyptians back in Egypt. There's still a whole country over there. And they are going to hear that with your great strength and all in the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim, you brought them out. And then, all of the great miracles that you saw, but then you wiped them all out. All 2 million plus Jews that were in the Midbar in the desert, you wiped them out as one. You annihilated all of the Jews. Here, after all the great miracles in Mitzrayim, you can take them out. You could sort of kaviyochel fight over the Egyptians, but to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, they'll say, yeah, that must be too much. They're going to say, you know what? One country of Egypt, he's able to fight against. But the 31 kings in Eretz Canaan, that was too much for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he wiped them out before we ever went in. And that's what people are going to say. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, va'ata now, Hashem, your strength should be exalted, Kasher Dibarta, and he starts saying some of the Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem, Erech Apayim, Hashem, we know you're slow to anger. True, Klal Yisrael sinned, but bring your attribute of Erech Apayim, you're slow to anger, and you give them more time to do tshuva. V'Rav Chesed, you have an abundant amount of kindness. Please evoke that. Invoke that Mida as well. Now you say, Avoin, you can carry over and then overlook this sin for now. You can forgive them. And he says, Slach no la'avoin ha'om azek ha'gedol chazdecho. Forgive this nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu here is coming and presenting two arguments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the one hand, he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand that they're really deserving of annihilation. You really should just wipe them all out. How many times could we keep sinning over and over after seeing all the great miracles and still not living up to the expectations that Hashem has of us? Wipe them out. Everyone.
The Levim were involved in these tzaras too?
By the Meraglim?
Meraglim, yeah.
Everybody, the whole nation. The whole nation. Guilty, Kalev, Yeshua, Benun, Vikalev, Ben Yifuna. The only ones. Otherwise, everybody took heart to what the Meraglim said, and they all cried that night, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, but I understand they are, but if that happens, if you wipe them out, it'll be terrible rumors spread about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to say, oh, you know why they wiped him out? Because he thought he wouldn't be victorious in Eretz Canaan. And then he says, please invoke the Yud Gimel Midas. Please invoke these attributes of mercy and kindness and slow to anger and for the forgiver of sin and give them another chance. So he's coming with two arguments. One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know you have this attribute of mercy and kindness, and you can overlook sins, and you could push it off and give them a chance to repent even longer than the time that you would expect of them. And the first argument is that it's not going to look very good if you wipe them all out. Which argument did HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to? Maybe listen to both. Maybe listen to none. Which argument did HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to? So in the opinion of Rashi, listen to the following. Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. I have forgiven because of your words. Hashem heard Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. He heard his prayer on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and it says, Salachti. I have forgiven them. I will not destroy them. Why? Kidvarecha, as your words. Says Rashi, Bishvil Masha Amarta, because of what you said, Sheyemru mi built the Yecheles Hashem. Because you said this is going to look terrible on my name, that people are going to say it's not in Hashem's power to defeat the 31 kings, and because of that Chilal Hashem that will occur, Hashem says, I therefore will not do what I intended to do to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and I will forgive them. Not that Hashem says, I will invoke my attributes of mercy and kindness over here. That's not the reason. But in order that there should not be a terrible Chilul Hashem, Hashem says, I will therefore give them another chance. And indeed, punishment did take place. All of those that were involved in believing the report died in the Midbar. But yet, it did end up going to Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael survived. It had subsequent repercussions as well, as the Netziv points out, because Hashem says, I will forgive them. However, as I live, Hashem says, as I exist, my glory will spread out throughout the land. Which is not clear what that means, and the Netziv points out that David HaMelech clues us into what that means. And David HaMelech, in his famous Kapitel Kuf Vav, chapter 106 in Tehillim, where he goes through the history of Klal Yisrael and the trials and tribulations and the ups and the downs, when he comes to the story of the Meraglim, he says, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayimasu Bereskemda, and you despise this very treasured land. You didn't trust Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't trust Hashem that this is going to be a good land, and the spies, and they complained. So what did Hashem do? Hashem took an oath, as he said over here, Chai Oni. Hashem says, I swear by my life, Kaviyachon. Says, Chai Oni, V'yisa yode lehem lahapil oisem bamidbar, to kill them in the desert, ulahapil zaram, and for those that survived, their children who survived, that went into Eretz Yisrael, ultimately they would be what happened? Ulazaroisim barotzeis. They will be scattered in all the lands. And here, the Netziv points out that Hashem said, for those that were in the desert at the time and culpable of being killed, they died. They didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem said, because of this great chil Hashem that will happen, I will allow them to remain alive, those who are older and less than 20, and those children will go into Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, if they won't repair their ways to the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected of them, they will be sent into Golus. And Hashem says, the way I will rectify this Chilul Hashem for my name is that I will scatter them and spread my name throughout the world, because I will scatter Jews throughout the world. The Ramban tells us in the end of the rebuke in Parshas Bukhu Kaisai, right at the end of Perek Chavav, after this terrifying rebuke of all the terrible things will happen, actually materialized. Mostly after the first temple's destruction, some after the second, and Ramban, the Torah ends off. V'af gamzais. However, even after all of this, that I have to bring these terrible calamities upon you, even these terrible things when you'll be in the lands of your enemies. You'll be in the lands of your enemies and the foreigners. But still, Hashem says, I will never be so disgusted or so despised by you to wipe you out entirely. Or to nullify my covenant that I had with you, because I am Hashem. Says the Ramban, you know what this is making reference to? It's making reference to the same idea as Hashem said Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Pasuk right after this says, V'zacharti lem bris rishonim. You know why I will never be so despised with Klal Yisrael to entirely wipe them out? Because I'll always remember bris rishonim asher yitzeisi oisem eretz Mitzrayim le'enei hagoyim. When I took them out of Mitzrayim, le'enei hagoyim. To the view and the eyes of all other nations. And the Ramban says, because of that, because Hashem does not want His name to be profaned in the view of the world, even though it won't be because we're deserving of it. Loy lemanchem, the Ramban says, not because of your own merit, ki lo yasu tshuva, because you have not yet done a repentance that's deserving of being saved and not annihilated. V'liniskap rav enosim, and Hashem said, I could not yet atone your sins entirely. But in order that it shouldn't create such a chilul Hashem, therefore I will end up saving you. And that, he says, is what Chazal tell us. Lo ma'astim. It goes under Mimei Aspastianus by the first Beis Hamikdash. Hashem didn't destroy us entirely. Lo ga'altim. That goes Bimei Yavin, the second Beis Hamikdash, but during the days of the Greeks. Licha loisam. The pasuk says lahaf habrisi itam. That's Bimei Haman. I didn't annihilate you. And ki ani Hashem lekehem. Bimei goig umogoig. So Ramban is saying that even in our days, even in our Golus, the reason why we are sort of surviving the Golus, we may think is because of our great merit, says Ramban, not necessarily. But it's because it should not be such a terrible chilul Hashem. Hashem says, I will continue to let you live, I will continue to give you more time. But we'll end with a very interesting letter or a statement that was written by the Chafetz Chaim in 1929, where he says he was asked the questions by many. He says, many have asked me that we see all of the signs that Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in the end of Saita of what the world will look like and what the state of affairs for Bnei Yisrael will look like at the time right before Mashiach. All of them have been fulfilled. Not only that, the chilul Hashem that we have in our days, because of all the terrible things that are happening to Klal Yisrael, is tremendous. And the pasuk says, "Loy lemanchan ani oisez ois beis Yisrael," as the Ramban just pointed out. I'm not even doing it for your sake, as if you have reached my expectations. Hashem says, and you're deserving of having Mashiach brought. Because my name is being profaned amongst the world. That's why we weren't killed by the Meraglim. That's why during the first Beis Hamikdash we were saved at the end. There were remnants that were saved and not entirely obliterated. And the second Beis Hamikdash and the days of Haman. And even in the final days, the Ramban says, because of my name that will be profaned amongst the world. So, if so, then why isn't Mashiach here yet? The Ramban says, the Chafetz Chaim says. And this is, he says, what I was asked by several people. If all of the signs have come and Hashem says that, he wants to stop this chilul Hashem, why isn't he yet? So he says, the Chafetz Chaim, v'zeis asher hashavti lam, that this is what I responded to them. V'vadai certainly lo yapol mi Hashem kol davar. Certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an instant can bring Mashiach, no question about it. And as a matter of fact, Ubavadai, Hashem is very concerned about his great name, Shalei Yischal Bagoyim, that he should not be more desecrated as time goes on. And therefore Hashem, the ultimate goal of all of it is really just to bring Kiddush Hashem, just to bring glory to Hashem's name. And ultimately when he brings Mashiach, indeed everything will then be seen so clearly that all of that Chilul Hashem will turn into, in a fantastic fashion, will turn into a great Kiddush Hashem. So what is Hashem waiting for then? Chofetz Chaim says he's only wanting for one thing. Ach hadavar bar etzli. To me it's clear. Shakarish Baruch Hu oid ma'akiv k'tzas hazman ha'gula. Hashem is just waiting a little bit more. He's just stretching it out a little bit more, the time of Geula of when I'll bring Mashiach. Kidei shenachines atzmeinu l'bias Mashiach tzidkeinu. Only to give us a little bit more time to get ready for when Mashiach will come. V'leinovi l'kabal panav, that we shouldn't have to come and greet Mashiach arum in b'teira u'mitzvus, naked of teira and mitzvus. In other words, says the Chofetz Chaim, really, all the signs have been fulfilled. Hashem has already told us Mashiach is ready to come. It's not like we even have to do anything more, because Hashem wouldn't even rely on our full tshuva, maybe. But because of the great chil Hashem that is occurring by holding back Mashiach. So Chofetz Chaim says the Mashiach is there at the door. It's not like he has to get ready and then put on his cloak and get his donkey ready. No, he's already at the door. He's there waiting. He's been waiting for a while already. Right? All the signs of what Mashiach's coming, that means he's waiting at the door. Okay? And his hand is on the doorknob, ready to open that door from heaven and come down. And Hashem says, oh, Mashiach, wait one second. Wait one second. From my view up here, I see that there are going to be many that will be quite embarrassed if they have to greet Mashiach in the state that they're in. Mashiach is going to come and they're going to run. Oh, I just want to learn a little bit more. You know, there's some Chumash Rashi that I haven't yet caught up with, and there's some Halachas that I know, and I really didn't do the Gemara I wanted to learn, and some things that we want to catch up on. So Hashem says, Mashiach, wait one second. Before you turn the knob and open the door, we'll wait a few more minutes. And Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal. Imagine the person's making a great banquet. He's making a chasana for his son. And he calls, of course, all of his family and his relatives and his friends. But he realizes it's going to be such a fancy affair. And all of his wealthy friends and family are going to come dressed appropriately. But he has those that in his family that can't even find a clean suit. They don't own one. So he says it will be so embarrassing for them. They're going to come in, as schleppers, going to come in with the tattered clothing, and everybody else looks so dressed up. It's not right. So he says, you know what? I'm going to give them a little bit more time. I'll push it off a little bit. Give them some time. At least they can clean their garments. You know? Let them get it, save up some money so they can clean their garments, get a clean suit, buy a new tie, so they shouldn't be embarrassed by the chasana. So the Chofetz Chaim says the same thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is only waiting to give us a little bit more time. He says, giving us those, they shouldn't be embarrassed of being empty of the Torah that they could have learned, or bereft of the mitzvahs that they could have performed. Hashem says, I'll give them a little bit more time. So we see very clearly, as Moshe Rabbeinu davened in the parasha, that he knew Hashem doesn't want his name to be mischalal bagoyim. And he's not even necessarily doing it in terms of our great merits, but rather Hashem says throughout, I never was despised enough by you to wipe you out entirely. And throughout, and this goes the first basement, the second basement, even now during the time of Goy Gumagog, Hashem says, I will never wipe you out. And really Mashiach is ready to come. Chofetz Chaim says he's just extending it a little bit longer. He's giving us a little bit more time that we ourselves should be ready. For when that day, the great day comes, and there will be a terrific banquet, and people are going to come there, we should feel that we are somehow appropriate to sit at that table and sit to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.